Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Saturday. And I did say good afternoon. This is the second time we've been on air. And I don't know, I'm kind of liking, kind of digging this afternoon stuff. But anyway, welcome to Hannah Footprints, What is Your Legacy? Of course, I am your host with the most, Miss Ricky R. Jones. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely, even though it's cloudy outside, it is wonderful. I'm sitting out here on my deck here, and I decided from last Saturday, you know, it was so beautiful, and I sat inside today. I decided to sit outside. So it is a wonderful, slightly muggy, slightly sticky, but I have a nice sweater on, cloudy type of Saturday here in Philadelphia. So glad you guys chose to be here. So excited that you all are here. Welcome, welcome for those of you who are constant supporters of Hannah Footprints. Thank you so much. I mean, you know, you can be anywhere this Saturday afternoon, but you chose to be with me, and I truly, truly count it not robbery. Those of you who are new to Hannah Footprints, welcome. I'm so glad you too decided to join in. As always, if you want to join in on the conversation, the phone number is 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. You can press the number 1. If you're online, hey, guys, I see you online. I see our faithful Facebook folks are already in the queue. I'm so glad. But if you're online and you're listening and you want to chime in, either you want to say hi to our guest or if you have a question of our guest or you have a comment, you are more than welcome to hit me up on Facebook. You can either find me under Ricky Jones, R-R-I-K-K-I Jones, or you can go to the Hannah Footprints page, which is also on Facebook. It's Hannah Footprints, What is Your Legacy? It's the show page. Either way, you can send me an instant message. By all means, please do so. Today is absolutely, you know, it's one of those days. It's great. It's nice. I'm so excited. It's good to have breath in the body and just being here. I mean, it's absolutely great. So I want to say to you guys, I've been enjoying September thus far. I hope the kids are doing well in school. I hope you guys are getting adjusted, being back into the groove of things. But I tell you, the absolute fabulous time I've been having with my guests, and today is like no other. I mean, you know, I always have fantastic guests. And this young lady is really, really remarkable and inspirational. So I hope you guys get a chance to call in. I hope you guys get a chance to ask some questions and, you know, have a comment or so. Because it's not a lot of times that we get to hear young people come out and they talk about how they're doing their thing. A lot of us like, okay, we're doing our thing. We're all old and everything else and we're out here. But it's nice for a change to get young people in and, you know, to really express what they're doing and follow their passion. So I'm going to stop running my mouth, and I'm going to tell you about this wonderful young lady. So if you've been noticing the posts, her name is Wei. Now, before we get in all, you're like, Wei? No, hold on, because everything has a meaning and a purpose. But Wei, a.k.a. Solar Lioness, born Kima Norris Dozier, is an artist, or as she likes to sometimes say, a heartist, coming straight out of the heart of North Philadelphia, as the founder and owner of her own business, which is entitled Soul Meets Body. And as a traditional artist, author, poet, spoken word artist, live painter, face and body painter, graphic designer, and a sometimes photographer, but she says that's only really a hobby. But if you see her work, okay, I'm going to come back to that. She's always expanding and looking for more mediums to be creative and to show her artistic side. This vibrant young woman is an up-and-coming chasing after her dreams, but quite honestly, when you get a chance to have a discussion with her and you get to see what kind of work she's doing, she is living in her dream. She truly is, and is absolutely fantastic. Wei is also always looking for ways to push her limits in her creative process. She's always looking to continue to grow, both as an artist and as a spiritual, divine, holistic, overall human being. Some of Wei's accomplishments as a visual artist. I wish you guys were in the studio with us because, you know, the look, if you could see the look that she's just like kind of giving me, and just, you know, don't worry about it. When you hear it, it's great. So anyway, can I finish? I'm going to finish the bio. Thank you. But anyway, some of her accomplishments as a visual artist alone range in her very first painting, which is sold internationally over in Germany to a well-known African gatehouse. First she sold her painting overseas in Germany, and then from there her painting was given to the African gatehouse in Southwest Philadelphia, and which eventually got changed to the Sankofa House after she created her beautiful work of art. She's done the wooden and the glass doors, including the symbol that's on the doorway, and she's done things for the Priya Dunde cookout celebration, which was in 2013, having her first solo art show, which was conducted in Philadelphia, Southwest Philadelphia, at the Atia Ola Spirit First Foods. That happened in June 2014. Way has also face and body painted at a few major events here and around the city, like the Phillies Carnival Celebration in the summer of 13. Of course, one of my favorite festivals, the Adunde Festival in June of 2014 and of June of 2015. And most recently, she did work at the African Independence Day Celebration in Malcolm X Park just this August. So she is in and doing her thing all about the city. And a matter of fact, when I get ready to pull her on, you know, she's kind of doing her thing. And it's funny because when I say in the studio, I mean, you know, we kind of, sometimes I get a chance to talk to my guests face-to-face, and sometimes we do Skype and we do messages to here and there. So, you know, she's a busy young lady. She's currently working on a new primarily visual arts project and making her presence known, recognizable throughout the world. She is open and is currently running her online store called Z Art Shop and is continuously expanding herself and her artistry in any colorful, holistic, healthy, spiritual, positive, uplifting, healing, liberating way possible. And she hopes that whoever comes in contact with her art, whether it be the visual, the physical, whatever art form that you have a chance and opportunity to have a chance to meet her with, you hope that you take away, she's hoping that you take away something with it, so hoping that you get the sense of where she's going and what she's doing and really the peace about it that she brings to her artwork. So I'm going to stop running my mouth, and I'm going to bring on. Good afternoon, my darling. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you? I love
great.
That. I love that introduction. I swear I do.
Well, listen, babe, I only do what you give me and you gave me because it's all about you. It's the truth. I mean, you are really a phenomenal young lady. And to be, you know, we had this discussion before we got on the air, for you to be a younger lady, you know, even though you're a grown, sexy lady, but for you to be a younger lady and have and walking, no, seriously, and walking in your purpose and your spirit and your design and your destiny early on in life, I mean, that's a testament and an inspiration to a lot, and that's why I want you to tell your story. So I'm so glad you agreed to be on. So I know that for those of you who are listening, you hear some background noise, you'll be okay. She is out and about. Like I said, right now she's getting ready to do a venue, so she's kind of in the mood of transporting here and there. But, Way, thank you again for being on. So now you know I'm going to ask the question.
Okay.
Girl, you got a whole lot of names.
I do. It's not that bad once I, you know, explain things a little bit.
Well, you know, would do us a favor and explain, like people say, explain, Lucy, explain the name.
Okay, indeed, indeed. Well, my name that was given to me by my parents is Kima, but my artist name is Way. You know, the name Way, because people always tell me how interesting my name is, and they want to know where it came from. Way was inspired by a class that I took. I took a humanities class when I was attending CCP with one of my favorite professors. And during the semester, we were studying Taoism. And that's also, you know, around the time I was reading a book called The Tao of Two, which explained Taoism. And, you know, I was really interested, and I really liked that school of thought. And the word Tao loosely translates into English as way. And, you know, Taoism is about, you know, just being, you know, don't try to define it, whatever it is, because you take away from the nature of the thing itself when you try to define it. So I thought that was cool, and I'm like, okay, my name's going to be Wei. Now then, Wei was initially just my stage name, because, like, you already know I'm a spoken word artist, so that was initially my stage name. But when I used to go to these open mic events, people started introducing me, you know, to others as Wei. So more and more people started to know me as Wei. So it went from being just my stage name to my overall artist name. So that's why even on some of my artwork, you may see my real name signature, KND, or some of them, but the more recent ones, you may see Wei. So don't think it's somebody trying to get over on you. If you see a piece of artwork of mine that's signed KND or KN Dozier or Wei, it's all me, okay? And Solar Lioness is my secondary name. It's like an AKA name. Like, you know, Erykah Badu, for example. She's also known as, who she calls herself? DJ Lowdown Loretta Brown, like an AKA name. Like, she has a secondary name and stuff like that. So that's what Solar Lioness is, basically. It's also known as name, but my primary name is Wei. So, yes, it is all me, one woman. Yeah, so that's my
but
name.
You know what? But you know what? So, but that is crazy as it may sound to somebody. To uh-huh. most of us, it makes perfect sense, because when you're really getting into, especially those of you who are very artistic, you know, those of you who come from that artsy, I call it the artsy-fartsy background. Listen, I know I'm not a poet. I know it. I know I can draw. I'm good at stick figures. I know what I can do. Now give me a microphone or give me a crowd of one or 10,000 people. Oh, I got it. I got you. Damn, boo. But it makes perfect sense to be all of that, because all of it relates to who you are and what you're about. And that's the total just being enveloped into your craft. So now we're going to go back before we get into your business. So now how did you, because you started off as a spoken word artist, how far back have you always known, because I always ask folks, how far back have you always known that or got into the arts? In other words, like, you know, some people will say, oh, well, you know, I just happened to fall upon it. But that doesn't strike me as that's going to be your answer. You know, you kind of knew.
It's not. You're right.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell it.
So, listen, what you just said, right, about your stick figures, I started from stick figures, too, because I've been drawing all my life. All my life. My parents were artists, too. Yes. I started with the little stick figures. I used to make up my own stories and illustrate them, or I would take my favorite fairy tales and make little booklets. You know how little children make the booklets with the construction paper and staple the pages together? I did that. And my father, he's an artist. I swear, I don't know where he came from with that, because his art is what I want to do. He draws realistic things, like realism. I'm like, whether he's looking at a picture, whether he's drawing from memory, I'm like, Daddy, listen, I'm going to need some of that skills to be passed down to me, you know. And my mom, you know, I remember when I was little, we used to draw together. Like, she would buy me these little art sets with the little color pencils and markers, and we would draw comics together, like the Sunday newspaper. Y'all should know that, you know, the Sunday newspaper, the comics are in color, so I like the color ones. I would draw Garfield, Cassie, for better or for worse, stuff like that, just to practice. And my mom would always draw the Lockhorns for some reason. But, and I, you know, I had coloring books. I've been drawing
for
my life.
I'm going to speak for your mom, because I'm pretty sure your mom's probably somewhere in around the age group. Right.
So, I was like, Lockhorns, this is a weird comic.
Don't knock our comic. We identified. Listen here, young buck. Don't start this comic.
You're right. My bad.
So now that's great thing that you always, and that was a good thing that you had parents that encouraged that. And that's something that we always, you know, as a parent, it's hard sometimes, because, you know, some of us are instilled that we're supposed to get up and do a 9-to-5 and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so when our children start getting into things that are not, quote-unquote, the air quote, you know, the mainstream, it's kind of hard for some parents to say, well, go ahead and, you know, do the waltz. I never forget my son, I think he was about 3 years old. and he decided that he wanted to color the wall a different color than what it was. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he took his little crayons and he did all over the wall and all that kind of stuff. And I know his father and I looked like, oh, my God. Like, and I remember his godmother saying, you know, that's his creativity. I remember a couple people saying to us, that's his creativity. Just let it be. Mm-hmm. Take a picture of it. You never know. It might be worth something years later. Don't discourage him. Just, but now if you want to do it, you don't want him to do the whole wall, you know, give him a little section. So that's what we ended up doing. We ended up, I think, doing one of those chalkboard type of things and just let mm-hmm. him have, we framed off a part of the wall where his bed was, and he just went to town and went for broke. And it was funny because his father is kind of artistic. Now, I don't, like I said, stick figures are my thing. I don't do all of that. But
oh,
and it's
cool.
Hard, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you did have parents. So now you've done your stick figures, and you've been drawing all your mm-hmm. life, and you've colored in the comic books and the comic strips, and you've made your thing. So how did it develop where you got to sharing what you did?
So I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to continue to answer the last question. You said, like, how did I know? So basically, I've always loved the arts, anything creative. I love music, dance, like anything that got anything to do with creative expression, creative, you know, whatever, I love it because it's just so fun. And I'm like a big child. Yeah, I'm 24, but I will always be a big child. So that's just what it is. So when I was in high school, you know, they start pressuring you about college. First of all, I never wanted to go to college, but, you know, of course, I got brainwashed by, you know, teachers and the college advisors and stuff like that. So I was trying to think, what do I want to major and what do I want to go to school for? So I was trying to think about all the typical jobs, you know, do I want to be an accountant? No, I don't like math, all like that. Do I want to be a scientist? No, I'm good. It's like, I was trying to think about all the typical jobs. I'm like, I don't want to do any of this. I wanted to be an artist and a writer. So, you know, my only thing I was trying to figure out was what combination. Did I want to major in English, minor in art, vice versa, double major, concentration, all those things. So I was like, yeah. But the college experience was like, oh, gosh, I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm out. But so, yeah, like as far as my art being exposed, for years, my friends and family have been cursing me out. Like, girl, you need to sell your artwork. You need to go to art school and da-da-da. You better sell this da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, all right, wait. All right, y'all, oh, my God. They, you know how your family and friends encourage you in the hypest way possible. So it started with my open mics. I wanted to start performing at open mics, and so I did that. And it was like a smooth transition, I guess you can say. Like, I was asked to, you know, do live painting. Well, actually, I wasn't asked to do live painting. I asked if I could do live painting because I went to an open mic. I used to go to a bunch of open mics, and an open mic, it was this woman, I forgot her name, beautiful art. She was a live painter there, and I used to go to an open mic where that was like my home open mic. So I decided, hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to ask the host. You know, D. Lance, I don't know if anybody knows Darius Lance of the Coffee After Dark open mic. That was my open mic, you know, that I would always go to. And I asked, you know, I was wondering if I could do live painting here, you know, while people up on the stage performing, I do my paintings and things and show it. The idea was supposed to be to auction it off and stuff like that. And that's how I started to first get my exposure as far as, like, the paintings and stuff. So, yeah, that's all I have.
But, yes, you know, indeed. You have to take courage to, but that takes a lot of courage. It really does because, first of all, you recognize early that what you liked and what you didn't. I mean, you know, you knew that, all right, I don't necessarily want to go to college. It's not really my thing. But if I have to kind of conform. So to get that early on in life is pretty amazing, and kudos to you for that. And then to take the next step of, so now you've done this mic thing. All right, so now you blessed the mic with your talents. Where did you go from there?
So actually, I started to fade away from the open mic scene for a few reasons. One, I wanted to focus more on my visual arts because back in high school, I was more concerned with, like, writing more so than art, but I could never still put one over the other. Writing and art, it's like, well, if you had to rank them 1 to 5, like anything like that, I would have to put them both as number one. So as far as my artwork goes, it's like, I just love it. Oh, I just want to give a disclaimer real quick. I am not discouraging anybody from going to college. All I'm saying is, it's not for me. So I don't want anybody coming at me later like, oh, you encouraging people not to go to school. I'm like, I'm not saying that. That's just my story. Yeah, that's just for me. I can only speak for myself.
Uh-huh. And you know what, Nessa, because I was going to do that for you. She not listen. You got to do what's for you. Yeah,
right.
Do what's for you. So you step back off of the mic for a little bit to concentrate on your visual art. So
right.
How did
so
that
I focus
develop?
On my visual
what
art.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I stepped back because, one, you know, I'm going to be real. I ain't have money like that. You know, even the $5, you know how it is. Listen, I'm not going to sit here in front. $5 can sometimes be too much, you know. I didn't have it sometimes.
Right.
You know, I had other things to do. And, you know, sometimes some of the prices started going up. And another thing I noticed, you know, some of these open mics were getting, in my opinion, a little bit cliquish, you know. Say you're supposed to come in there and you sign up your name on the list, and, you know, whoever, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, that's the order it's supposed to be when the open mic starts. But you would see favoritism. If they see their homie on the list, say you're number three and their homie is number seven, they'll let their homie up on the mic, and at the end of the night, everybody didn't get a chance to go. So things started getting a little weird. And, you know, I'm like, okay, weird, but more importantly, I wanted to focus on my visual work. And I actually, at the end of 2013, October 2013 to January 2014, I actually took a vow of silence. So I wasn't speaking anyway. Yeah, it was for spiritual reasons. I wanted to, you know, strengthen and reconnect with the Most High. And it was a matter of, you know, discipline, inner reflection. And that was the most interesting. I feel like that was like the strongest period of my life thus far. So much stuff has happened during that, you know, October to January 1st. I went silent on October 6th, 2013. And I did not utter a word until January 1st, 2014. And, you
and
know,
minute,
because
wait,
of the community.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
wait
yeah,
a minute.
Yeah, yeah. You want to ask that question, aren't you?
Yep. Wait a minute. Because you know you have to explain.
Yeah.
You got to explain. Now, when you say you didn't utter a word, you mean as far as the arts or just in all together?
Literally talking. I didn't talk.
Wow.
Yes.
Girl,
People ask me, like, how do you do it? Like, my family is mocking me at first. My friends, not like viciously, but it's like, girl, I couldn't do it. I got to talk, like that. And at first I would get mad, but then it was like, you know what? I have a certain mindset of what I want to do, what I'm trying to do. How I manage it is because, you know, the environment that I'm in, like, you know, Southwest, you know, Latino Ola, you know, everybody's the spiritual, the so-called, you know, conscious community. I don't like labels, but that's just, you know, for sake of the conversation. They understood what it was. So, I mean, once they realized I was taking the vow of silence, they respected it because they knew that it was something that I was trying to do spiritual-wise. Now, as far as everybody else in the world, I got some weird looks from people who didn't understand because I literally wrote to communicate. So I call this actually a light-level vowel silence because a true vowel silence is no communication, period. No speaking, writing, texting, nothing. I was still writing to communicate. And I think the funniest reactions I got to my vowel silence once people realized I was silent was they thought they had to be silent too. So once they realized I was silent, they started, you know, sign language and stuff. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you know you can talk, right? I'm the one that's being silent, not you. They started writing with me, too. And I'm like, okay, this is cute.
They were being supportive.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. My mom was pissed. She was ready to tear me up. Shall we grab this goddamn vowel silence is over? I don't like you not talking. I'm like, Mommy. In my head, I'm like, Mommy, I was writing all these notes. She said, all these notes, and she got me reading these notes. Like, she was so mad. It was funny. My aunt thought I was a part of a cult or something. She said, I don't know what you're doing, but don't drink the juice. And I'm like, what she talking about? And then I realized what reference she was talking about. She said, don't drink the juice. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm like, all right. Once I realized what she was talking about with the I forgot the man's name, but he had that situation where everybody committed like a mass suicide. And I'm like, oh Lord, I don't know what she thinks of me, but it definitely was not that at all. But you know, I was, like you said, I was supported. Ultimately, I was supported. So those are the main reasons right there why I stepped away from the open mic, and I focused on my visual art. And you know, a lot of things were revealed to me during this time, including the startup of my business, Soul Meets Body. The image for my logo actually came to me during my vow of silence, and I sketched it. I had a rough sketch in my notebook, not my notebook, my sketchbook. And, you know, the name, the way it's designed, everything came to me during my vow of silence. And, you know, one of my elders, Bobby Cordell, he said, you know, when you're not speaking, that's a lot of energy that's being held in, because speaking takes energy. But if you're not talking, that's, you know how it says, you take away one of your senses,
yeah, you take away
and
one of your
the rest
senses.
Of it.
Right.
You know, talking is not
right.
Technically a sense, but you know what I mean. I wasn't talking, so everything else was enhanced. And, man, I'm telling you, I made a point in documenting all of this stuff. I have all types of things written down, so many things I've seen, you know, and I'm like, yo, this is just the beginning. So that's why I fell off of the open mic. And a little small note, I was kind of running out of poems, too. So it was like, I want to keep doing the same thing over and over. Then it was the pressure of coming with something new, and I'm trying to be all impressive, and, you know, you got to stop it.
But
I'm
going
to say this to anybody who's listening. Don't try to impress anybody but yourself, because I'm, you know, trying to be all flashy, trying to be who you think you should be. Don't do it. It'll drive you insane. I'm telling you, don't do it.
But you know what? That makes a good point, because, listen, you knew you could do the poetry, and that was fine, but that wasn't your heart's desire. So for people,
yeah,
who,
I'll get back to it eventually.
Heart,
you know,
yeah, if that's their heart's desire, they're usually the ones who have books and books and books. And when they go to sleep, they hear poetry. They wake up, everything they see, geese flying by, the grass blowing one way, that's a poem. For the rest of us who don't see, you know, for the rest of us who our artistic eye, our third eye is not that way, I mean, that's great that you recognize it, because you're right. People will keep doing things in order to put on the facade, or to keep putting up the front, so to speak, to make themselves look good. And listen, to go back, for people who didn't understand when she's saying, you know, she was kind of short on, you know, money, a lot of times when you go to a poetry event and you're the person who's performing, there's usually a donation of coming in and being a spectator, and then there's a donation from the artist, you know, so they can get on the mic, so people can be,
right.
You know. So just in case folks don't know, because I don't want anybody to go out there and try to figure
sorry.
Out what the world's going on.
So it's usually
$10,
right? But it would cost like $5 if you perform. So another way cut the cost is I would perform, too. So it was like, all right, let me pay this $5 to get on the mic. Listen, I had to save money because, you know, I don't know what the prices are like now.
You're a starving artist. That's right. You're a starving artist.
Oh, no, I'm not. I don't want to claim that. Wait, I'm going to make a disclaimer. I cannot stand the term starving artist. I swear on everything I love. These artists out here, fellow artists, if you claim in that title, that's what you're going to be forever. Stop calling yourself a starving artist. You are an artist on the move. You're an artist up and coming. Don't claim starvation. Like, I believe, like, the whole words have energy, things like that.
Yes,
do not claim that title, starving artist. Don't do it. Call yourself, I'm working, don't say I'm broke, say I'm currently building my funds, something, like anything but broke, anything but starving, you know, don't do that. So, but yeah, that's just a disclaimer. I'm far from a starving artist, you know, I'm on the path, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I ain't got no Oprah money yet, but I don't want to say I'm
right,
starving.
That's right, yet. For those of you who would just... Those of you who are
right.
tuning in to the show, welcome to Hand and Footprints. I'm your host, Ricky Jones. We are on with, like I have been saying all week, those of you who have been following the post, a very gifted artist, not up and coming, because she is here. Let's say that.
Yes,
she is
thank
here.
You.
She is here. That's right. You have arrived, and folks got to catch up with you to make sure that they can, you know, follow the train and get on board. But you guys, you guys who are tuning in, make sure that you call in 347-826-9723, press the number 1. For those of you who are listening online, and you know, sometimes we get more, I don't know what that's about, sometimes I'll get more people calling in and they'll ask questions, and then, you know, and then sometimes I get people on Facebook. So today is one of those days. Everybody wants to be quiet on the phone. That's fine. They can listen in. But I see, as always, my Facebook folks are popping as always. Thank you, Facebook. Love you dearly. So we have one of our one of our Facebook folks is saying, "Oh my God, I just love your realness."
Ah, yes. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And God bless you for taking a whole a year of silence, because I wouldn't have been able to do it. But it makes perfect sense when you said, and this is what they're saying. They said it makes perfect sense what you're saying, because how mm-hmm. else can you really hear clearly or know where you want to go if you don't know what you're listening to or what you should be listening for? So they're saying
exactly.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for that.
Oh,
and that does
you're
bring
welcome.
Up a good
thank
point.
You.
So now you've heard, you've taken this vow, you've sat back, you've gotten focused, you're on the move. How in the world do we get the soul meets body? Because that's
soul
what I want people to, oh, my
body.
Goodness.
Soul meets body. Now, to be honest, the name soul meets body, all right, so I love Michael Jackson. I need to understand that. I used to chase down his pictures and collect his pictures and everything on the Internet, and people make fan art. And it was this phrase, like, they did, like, this Photoshop edit of Michael Jackson, you know, when his intense dance moves with the sparkles and shining and stuff like that. And it said something about, I forgot what it said, but it said something about soul meets body, when soul meets body, something like that. And I was like, oh, I like that. So I thought back on that, and I'm like, I like that, soul meets body. And I thought about the concept of soul, spirit, and body. This is the way I put it. We all are, we are spirits in the human body, as we commonly know, but people to me confuse the term spirit and soul. This is how I figure, you know, this is just my thinking, you don't have to agree. Soul is the life force energy. Soul is the life force energy, like our breath. Spirit is who we are, and the body is the vehicle that we're inhabiting while we're here on this earth. So when soul meets body, you're alive. When soul meets body, you have a life purpose. When soul meets body, you shine. Because soul, if you notice my play on words, even in my name, Solar Lioness, Solar Lioness, and also, you know, soul meaning the sun, S-O-L, and then it's S-O-U-L, like soul, like the life force energy. And, you know, Solar Lioness makes perfect sense because, you know, I'm a Leo. My ruling planet is the sun. The sun is the center of the universe, and that's where we get our life from. You know, our sustained life from the sun. And, you know, especially as melanated African folks, you know, I'm going to throw that in there. We definitely benefit from the sun. So if you want our African people, melanated people, you want to call yourself Black, African American, you want people that be running from the sun, stop it. Stop it. Get in that sunlight. But, yeah, that's how Soul Meets Body came to be. And like I said, the image for the logo came from, you know, during my vow of silence. And I drew it in my sketchbook where it sat for a while. It took me forever to make it, you know, render it on the computer on Photoshop. I said, I'll do it. And I was trying to figure out how to do it, but then I finally did it. I built it from scratch, you know, using different shapes and effects and stuff, and that's how Soul Meets Body came to be. And, you know, as far as what my mission is, I'm still discovering myself. So don't think, you know, I got it all figured out. I don't. I'm not one of those arrogant young folks who, oh, I'm enlightened, I know all. No, the hell I don't. Listen, I be tripping. I stay snapping. I'll tell you real quick. I stay snapping. Ask any of my elders. They're like, yeah, Wavy be tripping. She be snapping, but she on the pen. So, the more I discover and, you know, explore my art, because, you know, I'm always practicing, always trying to, you know, get better and stuff like that and exploring different subjects. And I'm also doing my own studies, too, learning about myself. I'm currently in the progress of tracing back my bloodline. And I'm also trying to figure out, like, everything that I've been lied to about in school. So that's why it's important to do your own studies. I had my own books, you know, studying about the origin of the world, you know, Africa and everything, not getting stuck on Egypt. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Not getting stuck on Egypt. There's a whole continent,
now,
you
wait
know.
A minute.
And
wait
we've
a minute.
Been all
wait
around
minute.
The world.
Wait a minute. Listen, wait a minute. Now let me say this. Now, it's not the lie. It's not a lie that you got in school, because I tell my students that too, and I tell my son that too when he comes home, because he goes to a school where it is the school is the curriculum and everything else is African based. So he comes home.
Oh, okay.
And he
lucky
he's
him.
Like,
let me go back to school.
Mom, they're telling a lie, and what I tell him and I tell everyone, it's not a lie. You know, there's always three sides to the story. It's one side, the other side, mm-hmm. and then there's the truth. What a lot
right.
of times you and a lot of us have gotten is one side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like you said, we're doing our research, and we're getting the other side of the story to get to the truth.
Right.
Like that?
Right.
You can take that one with you.
Okay, definitely.
You can have that one right there. There you go. But, I mean,
thank you so much. Yes. And that's actually one of my affirmations. I'm always led to the truth. Yeah. So I feel you.
And that is really good. I mean, listen, sweetheart, I tell you, one of the things, and this is why I love doing what I do, I love meeting people who are into themselves, and people are like, what do you mean, Ricky, people into themselves? They selfish, yeah, sometimes you do have to be selfish, but what I mean, being into yourself, meaning you're kind of in touch with who you are and what you're about, and know that you're an evolution in progress.
Right.
You know, and the fact that you're 24 and you're already here, you know, most folks tell you, you know, you're an old soul. You've been here before. So I know you've heard that a lot, because that's what you are.
Yeah.
You're old soul. You've been here before, and that's all good. And it's all good, because at least you know how you want to direct your path. And that's one of the things that I love about bringing you on. And one of our Facebook family, one of the young folks is saying, and that's why I made the show PG-13, you know, so that we have some young folks listening in who are kind of, you know, inspiring artists and things of that nature. And even so-called old heads, because I'm part of old heads too, because guess what, old heads, we can get inspired too. We don't know everything. Sometimes we have to look at our young folks and get the inspiration that we need to get to the next plateau that we need to get to. But one of our Facebook family says, wow, that is, and he said, as an old head, that's what they were saying, as an old head, I tell you, young lady, you are definitely an old soul, and you're definitely dropping knowledge, and keep doing that. Please keep doing that in your art form and in just how you're approaching this. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
So that's another
one of our
Facebook friends.
Now,
those of you who are listening in online, you know you can definitely press the number one, but if you don't want to say anything, that's okay. That's okay. The two of us are having a wonderful conversation, and it's okay. Me and Way are okay. We all right. Now, so we're not a starving artist. I hope you all got that. We're an artist who has arrived and is making their moves, and now you have a business. So now in your business, you have started this business and the meaning of it and everything else. If one were to come and visit your business, whether online or face-to-face, what would be the encounter? What would they come and get? What would they purchase from you? Like, the whole interaction, what would that be like?
Well, my artwork, I know my target audience is my people, because, you know, my mission, which was also revealed to me during my vow of silence, my purpose in life, is to heal, uplift, and educate my African nation. And that's just what it is. People don't want to hear that, but that's just what it is. We are the most attacked, torn down, assaulted, but most ancient people on the face of this earth. And it's like, we need to heal before we can make any type of progress. So once I realized this and I enforced it into my business, I want that to reflect in my artwork. But in a relatable way, I guess you can say. Like, one of my most recent pieces features a girl. I did my own version of Glinda, the Good Witch of the North from Wizard of Oz. I named her Brenda, the Good Witch of the North, because, you know, even a play on the way we speak, because they try to talk down on us like we don't speak proper English. I feel like the term proper English is an oxymoron, but that's a whole other story. So the woman, she has a tribal paint on her face. She's holding the magical wand that the original one had a star at the end, but at the end of my wand is an Adinkra symbol, which is the Jet and Yame. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And that signifies, except God, I fear none. You know, that's a popular Adinkra symbol, which is, you know, a symbolic system from Ghana, from the Khan people and stuff like that. And she has the crown on, you know, her pretty brown skin, but she looks modern. She's up to date. So I guess you can say I want to relay how important it is that we remember who we are in a not corny way. Like, I don't want to come off as preachy. I don't want to come off as cheesy. I don't want to come off as corny. But, you know, I just try to do it in the most authentic way possible through my art. Because another thing, going back to me growing up drawing, I always drew white people, yo. Like, by default, I find myself always drawing, like, I colored my stick figures white, straight hair. And then it wasn't until here, right now, 23, 24, I'm like, yo, why am I always drawing white people by default? Like, why are we always reaching for the pink crayons or the peach crayons? Give me that brown real quick. Let me, you know. I had to sit here and struggle how to draw my own texture of hair, braids, locks, curls, afros, you know, because we're conditioned to think that white is the default. So I know I want my people to realize how beautiful, how divine, how important we are, not on some, oh, I'm superior, I'm better than you. No, it's not even about that, because there's no competition with us. I want us to remember who we are, and I can do this for the rest of my life through my artwork. I'm about to cry, wait. Oh, my God. Like, it's so important that we know. Like.
But it is true, because when you do, and it's funny, even in the coloring books, as we're grabbing coloring books for our kids.
Yeah, like, it's white characters. Like, even if they're not colored, then you can see that they're white. Like,
better.
Why?
It's a little bit better for your generation, and the generation, my son's generation, is a little bit better because now because of people like yourself and others, who are making it so that we don't forget who we are and what we're about, and to give that representation where we need to see it. So, yeah, it's a little, it's not where it should be, but I'm glad it is where it is now, because, like I said, when I came up, we didn't have, we only had one particular Barbie. And
right.
I only knew.
And the one Christie doll, that one Christie doll.
Right. Out of all of my girlfriends, it was a few of us. We had a little Barbie club, and we had one girl, one young lady who had a Barbie doll that looked like us.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one shade, and she only had one hairstyle. Now, listen,
right.
That was saying a whole lot, because the sister had a afro, and I'm showing my age, but that was saying a lot even for that time. But now you have books. You have cartoons, you have artists such as yourself who are painting and giving the representation that's still lacking. I mean, it's coming along, but it's still lacking, and I thank you for that. So now, I know people, and you're going to tell people where they can find your artwork. So now they get a chance to see your drawing, but now let's talk about your, now, we're going to go with the political part that people can understand to it, the face and body painting. But you and I both know really what it is. It's just tribal arts and things that people of African descent, people of African nations have been doing for centuries. So, but we'll quote, you know, we'll air quote it. We'll air quote it. Face and
exactly.
Body paint, you know, because, well, because, I mean, we want people to understand, because they're like, well, what, because, you know, the first thing, sometimes people think tribal art, they're thinking, oh, the images that we see, but when in reality, when the kids are going out and get their face painted, when they go to a face painter to get their face painted, really, that is a form of tribal art, whether they get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or if they're turning into a lion, it's still tribal art. So, let's talk about your face. Let's talk about your art, your body work, your work of body art. How about that? How did that come about?
Well, it started with a friend of mine asking if I could do face painting for an event that he was having. So I came out and did that. Matter of fact, I think, it was the same event. The Pre-Dunde cookout. I think you can also face some body painting there, too. Yeah, asked me to face some body paint. You know, my memory's bad. That's a shame. Like, I'm 24, my memory's like,
yeah, you're too young for your memory
girl.
To be bad.
I know. You know, I got to get my nutrients up, get my brain on point. But, so, yeah, I started with, you know, a friend of mine asking me to do face and body paint for him. And then after that, I realized, you know, why should I do this myself? Because I was using his face and body, you know, his paint set. But then I went out and bought my own, and I started doing, like, little things here and there, like the little carnival. I was sitting out on the grass, didn't have no official setup, but people did not care about that. I'm chilling on the grass. They come over to me like, oh, you know, your face painting, your body painting, and, you know, because folks, you know, from the islands, folks from the continent, they're part of where they're from, and they don't play that. So they want me to, you know, paint the flags on them and stuff like that, paint their faces, and that was fun. And that's actually how I got started on wanting to know where I came from. Because I'm like, yo, you got the, you know, Jamaicans out here, you got the Haitians out here, Trinidadians out here, you got the Barbadians out here, the Bajans out there. So I was like, oh, where am I from? What flags am I supposed to be waving? So that's another reason, you know, that's another way I tied into discovering who I am of wanting to trace back my bloodline. But, yeah, that's basically how I got started the face painting. And, you know, as far as the patterns and stuff, I've seen it here and there. I've seen it around. And I was always intrigued by it. So, you know, I just move with it. I hope I'm not sounding like, oh, like blah. But it's like I just moved with it. You know, during my vow of silence, my elder, Baba Ogun K-Me, I love him dearly. That's my godfather, my mentor. He would show me all types of books from, you know, Africa and the different, you know, spiritual systems, the rites and things like that, and the not initiations, but the coming of age rites and things like that, and the different things that they did with the face paintings and stuff. And so as I face painted, I would just, you know, paint whatever I felt, because I'm not following any particular patterns. From the outside, it may look similar, like, oh, just a bunch of dots and lines on the face. No, it's not. I paint as I go along, because I'm going with what I'm feeling at the moment and whose face I am painting, the shape of their face, the look of their face, who will fit their face. And I be all in my feelings inside, like, I be all in my feelings, like, oh, my God, like, this person looks like an African warrior. Like, I wonder, you know, if they know where they're from. And I paint all types of color skin, like light skin, brown skin, dark skin, different facial features, high cheekbones, big eyes. And listen, little girls, little children, like at the last event that I did, I made it my business to tell these little girls, because, you know, it was many little girls that wanted their faces done and little children. I made it my business to tell them, you have beautiful skin, because they do. They have beautiful skin. I said, don't let nobody ever tell you anything different. She was like, thank you, all cute and little and stuff. Because it's like, I don't know if they'll remember me or not, but they'll maybe in the back of their mind remember. I remember when I got my face painted, I was like 5 and 6. So the woman told me I had beautiful skin. That could be something embedded in them that they carry with them throughout their life. Because we are taught from, like, conception in the womb to hate ourselves. So it's, like, all these things that tie into my face and body painting. And, you know, I could do characters here and there, but I would prefer my niche. I prefer to do, you know, the quote-unquote tribal painting, because that's what I feel the most connected with. That's why I feel the most. Yes?
No, good. You feel the most connected with. Have you had an opportunity to do an entire body just yet?
No. The closest I did.
Is that something that you're looking? Is that something that you're looking to forward to doing? Like, are you gonna get into that at some point in time and maybe show that off?
I'm not looking to pursue it just now. The closest thing I got to painting the whole body, it was this man at the Priya Doom Day festival. I painted the Trinidadian flag across his chest. Like, real big across his chest, you know. So that's what I did on the body. And a sister friend of mine, I painted her arm because she had already done her face. She's another fellow artist. Her name is Omi, the Urban Gypsy. She'd done her own face paint, so she wanted me to do her arm to match. So I did that for her. So, you know, I do arms. Children sometimes with their names on their arms and hands, but I've never done a full body yet. And as far as, you know, the photography hobby thing, I want to practice my face and body paint. So to build my portfolio, I want to use myself as a model and paint on my own body and take pictures like that. That's what I want to do right now before I go out and do other people's bodies, because, you know, I feel like I can get some more practice and that will help get better quality paints or whatnot. And, you know,
and that was
more of a
one
seasonal
of the questions
for me.
Right, and that was one of the questions our Facebook friend had asked, like, how do you kind of perfect your craft? But you already answered. Another Facebooker asked us to ask you, how do you, besides your studies, how do you find your inspiration? Where do you find your inspiration?
Man, oh, man. So I find my inspiration everywhere. I find inspiration on social media because, you know, instead of letting my brain be drained by girls fighting and cursing and twerking and all that stuff, I look at different artists. Like on Instagram, I follow all these different amazing artists, like Marcus Prime. I love that man. Oh, my God. His art is the truth. Marcus Prime. I'm pretty sure some of y'all may be familiar with him. If not, check him out. You know, other fellow artists who do similar, not similar work, but have similar missions, I guess you can say.
Right.
And I'm inspired by that. I'm inspired by nature. And I'm inspired by the things that society would look down on you about. Like, oh, girl, why are you looking at the trees? What are you worried about that bird for? Why do you like cats? Like, why do you like animals? Why are you staring up at the sky? You know, there's nothing up there, you know? So it's like I like I said, I'm a child at heart, and this will never change because it took me a while to even call myself a woman. Like a woman, not on some inferior stuff, but because I feel like such a child, it's like, you know, I'm dazzled by, like, the stars at night and things like that. So, and traveling, too. I've not done any major traveling yet, but there are people who have. And when I see their pictures, I get so inspired. Like, oh, my God, I want to do that. I want to, my fantasy escape is to go to a tropical island in my beach bungalow and chill and create art and write and draw and be happy, run across the sand barefoot, you know. And I get inspiration from my family and friends, too. My king, I love you so much, Stan Lee. He always pushing me, and I push him. We're a team. You know, my sister, Melanie, you know, we knew each other. Because she's my best friend. She's not like, you know, we're best friends. We're sisters. You know, different mother, different father, but we're sisters. So you can't tell us anything different. She puts deep heart-to-heart talks. You know, my sister, Tay. You know, another sister, you know, Tasha, Charisse. You know, everybody, I have a supportive network, and, you know, sometimes you can feel alone as an artist because, you know, artists are automatically different. But then we got our own things we got going on top of being an artist and being different. So it was like we always feel like, oh, I don't fit here on this earth. I don't want to be on this planet. Not like on some I want to die or anything like that. I just feel like I belong on Neptune somewhere. Like, I feel like I can't fit in, but you got to be reminded sometimes that you have a supportive network. So I get inspiration from that, and it's like I have to be constantly reminded. It's really difficult, especially when you have this awareness in your mind, like you know that you're supported, but somehow, some way, your mind tricks you into thinking, oh, you're alone, even though you know you're not. I don't know if that's what cognitive dissonance or whatever, but that's just what it is with me, and I get inspired by a lot of things. I love it. The idea of traveling, adventure, bright colors, painting, going places, you know, having fun, you know, even Disney movies, like, you know, The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, you know, that takes me back to my childhood, like Sailor Moon, stuff like that, the magic and stuff like that. So that's where I get inspiration from. I can get inspiration from anywhere, you know, even with the things I'm studying, you know, Malcolm X, you know, Dr. Amos Wilson, like, oh, I get inspiration from everywhere. And matter of fact, this is a new artist that I found. Her name is Aziza. She has a new song called Black Magic Woman. I encourage you to go on YouTube and look it up because after I saw her video, after I heard that song, that right there, and looking at her Facebook page, that's what inspired me to create my newest piece called Witch Witch, which I said I made my own version of the Good Witch of the North. I was inspired by that. So I get inspiration from anywhere, I'm telling you. As long as it's good, as long as it feels good to me, as long as I know that it's the right thing, I will be inspired by it.
And I'm glad because then, you know, you have to, people don't think that you can get inspiration from just the simplest places, but you really, really do if you're paying attention. Now, your online shop, because that was the next question, your online shop, people want to know two things. Where is your online shop so they can go shopping? And two, what can they find on the online shop?
Okay, I'm going to tell you a quick story. My online shop was shut down out of nowhere because my old online shop the website just vanished off the internet. So I was like, oh my God, everything is gone. So I had to, you know, basically make a new one, and I made it. I was working on it all day yesterday, and it's online, and I got a few things up there. I got prints for now, but I'll be adding more products up there. The website, I'm so proud, because, you know, yes, soulmbody.com. So it's like a play on words when you think about it. Soul embody. So soul embody. So it's like, it's an abbreviation of soul meets body, but it's also a play on words within itself. So soul embody. Soul embody. So again, that's body.com. And you will find my current prints, including a very popular and high demand print of mine called Hear Not, which is the first of a trilogy that I created, where I made my own rendition of the Three Wise Monkeys, which is Hear Not, Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Think. I'm like, oh, Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil.
Speak No Evil. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you'll find those prints available, and also for my anime and manga fans out there, magical girls and stuff like that, I created a black version of Sailor Moon, and I have my Sailor Scout prints for sale. So, and yeah, that's what's on the line right now. So
now for all
I'll be adding more things as I go along.
For all you old heads listening.
Yes, because that was my main thing. That's what got me started.
Sailor Moon was a cartoon in the 90s, and it was a type, it was like kind of like an anime.
Mm-hmm. Magical girl
theory. She's a heroine. So, you know, yeah. You can just Google it if you're not sure. But trust and believe, if you have grandchildren or if you have young folks who are 20-something and below, 25 mm-hmm. and below, well, not even 25, how about 27? Because I'm thinking about my brother. 27 and below, they all know who Sailor Moon is. And the fact that you kind of tweaked it and I did see a little bit of what you were showing, and it looks very, very good. Now, those of
Thank
you who missed
you.
How you can get a hold of her, that's okay, because guess what she's going to do? She's going to post on the Hannah Footprints page her website and some of the things that you guys can purchase. Make sure that you do get some artwork, even if not for yourself. If you have a young person, well, you know, is into the, because a lot of the stuff that they see on TV now, I'll just give them something else to look at as far as it entertainment and artistic wise. You know, just give them something else different to look at, because I'm not even going to touch what's on TV right now. That's a whole other show in itself. But the fact that you are out here, that's for my Wednesday night show, the 15-minute conundrum. Where I can rant about that. That's something totally different. But for those of you who are out there, and don't worry, she's going to have it on the website, and she's going to put up, you know, a couple of her page, you know, pictures and things that so you guys can really see how talented, how creative, how the soul is meeting the body, and the spirit and mind and body is all kind of just going together perfectly, wonderfully, spiritually and beautifully. So make sure you guys mm-hmm. check that out. I told you an hour would go by quickly. Look at you.
Right?
You have officially done your wonderful interview. I thank you. I thank you way so much for being on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. I'm putting my request in now. Whatever piece of artwork that comes to your mind and it screams Ricky Jones, you know, just send it my way. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Make sure you autograph it, because I know in about a couple of years or so it's going to be worth some money, and I want somebody, the insurance company, to come in and say, oh, yeah, this is worth mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I truly thank you. I thank you for being on. If any of you have missed any parts of the show, that's okay. It will be archived, and the link will be coming out probably in about a half an hour or so. If you have any questions or comments, you guys can always hit me up on the social medias, Google+, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm under Ricky Jones. Make sure to like the Hand and Footprints page. Make sure that you check out all of Way's work. She's going to put her website on there, and she's definitely on the different social media, so make sure that you check her out. She's on Twitter, Google Plus, and Instagram and Facebook, because Lord knows I had to find her and make sure that I was tagging the right person. So I'm glad I did. But thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much for being an inspiration.
Thank you so much for being on.
If anything, guys, that you have taken away, as I always say, if it's not like breathing, if this young lady didn't prove to you, if it's not like breathing, don't do it. Truly, get out there and continue to walk in your purpose and where you're supposed to be destined to be. Have a fantastic afternoon, guys. See you on the flip side. See you next Wednesday. Hope and next Saturday. Thank you again, Way. Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Have a good one.
Peace, y'all.